Good morning, church family. Can we celebrate Camden together this morning, his baptism here? Such a just a gentle spirit, and what a great young man. And he looked at me and he said, "I've processed fish too." If y'all remember my story about processing fish on a factory boat, he said, that stood out to me. And I said, what a cool thing, and have a connection over that. That's his role, but he knows there's so much more for him in Jesus, and this is just the beginning. So really, really excited for Camden this morning. And for those of you joining online, thanks for tuning in. Just so grateful to be here and end this series as we step into something new for this fall. And many of you have it on your calendars. Just want to make sure that you've got it, that next Sunday in the afternoon from 1 to 4, we're having a block party right here in our parking lot. And we invite everyone here to not only come, but invite somebody to join you. We want to throw a block party, not just for our church family, but for this whole neighborhood. For this, the strip mall here, all of the clients that visit there, all of the employees, they're invited, the communities all around us. We want to start by welcoming our little community here in Greater Portland and invite them to join us. So we hope you'll be there from 1 to 4. Know that parking is going to be a little bit different during the second service, so just adhere with our wonderful roadies. They'll guide you, and we'll give you some more directives next week. So another couple things that we have coming up that are great connection points for us as a church family. This coming Thursday, there's going to be a women's gathering here. It's kind of a connection event in the evening on Thursday night. You can find that on the app. And then also Saturday morning, there's a men's breakfast, and that's at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. So guys, feel free to come out. These are great little events for connections to help get on-roaded into the community that we have here in our church family. And lastly, we have the table out on the turf for groups and classes registration to engage community. So please, all of these things are just avenues to be able to connect into our community that we have here in our church family that so many of us have found to be impactful in our lives. So as we go into this season, we want to recognize some specific people because we know that this is not an easy season to be stepping into if you're a student or if you're a teacher, right? I think we can all head nod that this has been a challenging couple of years, and knowing that it's going to be a challenging fall for some people, and we want you to know if you are teachers or students that we are with you in prayer, that we are with you as a church family. So this might feel a little uncomfortable, but if you are a teacher, K through college, or if you're a student in that same age range, could you just stand up? Would you be willing to stand up here in the auditorium? Can we give them just a round of applause? That's great. No, stay. Please stay standing. Please stay standing. Stand. Don't sit down. And we're just going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you as you stand right there. We're going to pray for God to just come over you. So, Father, we thank you so much for the lives that are standing here and those that aren't even in here in person. That, Father, would you just pour out your faithfulness? Would you pour out your grace, your favor over them in their lives? Would you just inspire them to persevere through what could be a challenge into something that they may not even know you have for them? Give them a heart to be fishers of men. Give them a heart to be just steady, present people. And would you just empower them as they go forward in this season, knowing that you are with them? Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We are with you. So we talked about the block party, and the block party is going to be the beginning of this movement that we want to make toward Greater Portland. And in preparation for that, we had over 100 leaders in this building yesterday for hours getting around the idea that we have a mission and a vision, and it plays out not just through the staff team, but through all of our leaders that help lead this church family so well. There was over 100 of them gathered in groups on the turf and in the cafe, collaborating, connecting, understanding how we can lead our church family more on mission into this place of abiding and remaining in Jesus, from little kids in the children's ministry all the way up through life groups, from our worship team to our hospitality team. We had all these leaders here in worship, teaching, encouragement, and equipping. And then we go to our church body and we say, hey, it's time. It's time to become fishers of men. It's time to step into this calling that Jesus gave his early disciples and gives us here today. And if you haven't caught on, that's what these 5 weeks have been all about. Fishing. And of course, I've got a bunch of fishing stories we're going to share, so buckle in for a couple hours. We're going to talk all about fishing because we know Scott and Josh, it's not their thing. Poor Scott on his fishing boat, catching mackerel, shoulder to shoulder. And you know, Josh talks about not fishing. I think it's still fishing if it's a haddock fillet floating in a basket of oil. And you have to go out. It's got to still be fishing. But as we become fishers of men, we see the analogies of the difference between being somebody who just likes to fish or can fish, or somebody who has the identity within them that they are a fisherman. Because fishermen, they just take the natural opportunity to fish. People who have fished or it's not really their thing, but they know how to do it, they don't have that inner drive to say, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to understand the waters. I'm going to understand the lures. I'm going to understand the gear that I need to do this. And the mission is what is important, right? The mission has to settle in on our hearts first before we could ever become the one who plays out the task, right? The mission has to go from, I'm going to be a fisherman, or I'm going to just fish, to, no, I am a fisherman. And we look at the disciples, and as they followed Jesus, they went from just followers to understanding that this Jesus, this leader, they could trust. They could follow anywhere. What he said came true in what he did. And so they began to trust him, and his mission became their mission. You see, as they walked with him for 3 years, when he said early on in his ministry, come, let me make you fishers of men, he played that out in his ministry. And it's by being with him, being around him, understanding who he was, that the mission became theirs. And we see the fruit of it. When he left this earth, the church continued on. The church moved forward in the region. The church somehow made it all the way here in Greater Portland today, to the point that you're sitting in this seat, because the mission took root in the hearts of the followers. And I think today, church, this is the opportunity. This whole series has been the opportunity as we look forward to the fall to say, is this our mission? Is this truly what we desire to do as followers of Jesus, is to go out and bring this very good news that I've experienced in my life to the people around me? Am I willing to go and share my story? Am I willing to just have a meal or share a cup of coffee with someone? Am I willing to just send a text message and try to connect them? Or at very least, am I willing to just pray for one? If we remember the very first way we started, am I willing to pray for one person that may lead me down that progression where I can then share my story? But we don't want to miss the opportunity that we have in front of us, that it's not just a flash in the pan moment. It's not just where we go through the rhythms and the motions of the church and we don't catch this inner spiritual transformation that God does in our hearts to say, this is an identity that you have. This is who I've created you to be as one of my followers. So today, may we go from fishing to becoming fishermen. May we be the people that have encountered the risen Savior and don't stop there, but we take up his calling on our lives and we move forward here in Greater Portland. So the big idea today to close out this series is becoming a fisherman. Becoming somebody that doesn't just go through the motions, but it's in our inner being. And Jesus knows that we don't stand a chance remaining on mission aside from being madly in love with following him. Amen. If we don't have a leader that we trust, that we are just madly overwhelmed with following, we don't stand a chance to hang on to his mission. Right? So we need to just take that call up that the early disciples did that says, drop your nets, leave them behind. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Because our identity, our purpose, our passion comes from this new deep place of knowing who Jesus is, loving who Jesus is, because he loved us first. Because while we were dead in our ways, dead in our sin, completely separated from God, we got a glimpse of that this morning with Camden. We come to this renewed idea that Jesus, this one who came, is working his gospel out in my life today. Man, it brings a flow of emotion, doesn't it? It brings this understanding of this is the one, the great divine one that came down and transformed my life. And maybe you say, Keenan, my life wasn't all that shipwrecked. My life wasn't all that broken. Maybe I don't have that great desire for Jesus. Well, even for me, maybe if we recognized the ramifications of not knowing Jesus, we'd fall in a little more love with what he did for us, right? If we knew how bad off that maybe we were spiritually, that we didn't even recognize here in this moment, we'd say, oh, Jesus, I had no idea. So coming out of a place of that, are we willing to take up his invitation again to let him make us fishers of men? He doesn't say, come follow me and make yourselves fishers of men. He says, I am going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to walk you through this process of following me. I'm going to show you all of these moments in my ministry that are going to make you change from the inside out to become men who fish for other people, women who fish for other people, students who fish for other people. So my first point here is that Jesus makes us fishermen. The church doesn't make us fishermen. Our family doesn't make us fishermen. Though they help in the process, though they help usher us into places to encounter God, it's Jesus. It's the one who invited the disciples. It's the one who has ushered the church along. It's the one who has brought his mission back into the hearts of people that makes us fishermen. So today we're going to look in the book of Colossians. We're going to look at a book where Paul, who some would say was probably one of the greatest missionaries ever, I'll call him a fisherman today, he had this radical moment with Jesus. He had this radical, life-transforming moment with Jesus that took him from persecuting and killing the church to all of a sudden saying, there is no other thing I could imagine myself doing because of what Jesus has done for me. In just a short amount of time, he went from the persecutor, the gutter of the fish, to all of a sudden pursuing people for the sake of the kingdom. And we have to, church, we have to look back at those moments sometimes in our lives and say, where has Jesus brought us from? Have we had that experience that has transformed our lives? And for me, it does go back, believe it or not, to a fishing story. When I was 13, it's the most nearest recollection I have of fishing and how I fell in love with it. And it wasn't on a big vessel out in the Bering Sea. It was on a small river in northern Maine. And my grandfather invited me at 13 to jump in his truck. It was an old 1988 Ram full of rust, bottles of Moxie rolling across the floorboards. And me, I could sleep anywhere. So I just fall asleep before we were out of town. And about an hour later, we wind up at this small little field, opening pasture in the big woods of Maine where there's no cell phone service. Parents wouldn't let their 13-year-old go there anymore, I'm sure. But we're out miles deep towards the Allagash Wilderness. And we get out and we walk about a half a mile in. We have all of our gear and we come and I can just hear the river that we're coming up to just starting to roar a little bit. I can hear that the falls are kind of thundering. And we come to a place called Fish River Falls in northern Maine. My grandfather had his fishing pole and his gear and I had mine. And he looked at this little pool and he said, you just fish right here. Just fish right here. And he went out further into the water and his waders looking up at the falls. And I thought he was going to go out there and he was going to catch the fish. I was just going to sit on the shore and just kind of watch him. But he knew something I didn't. He knew that I was the one that was going to catch the fish and he was going to have the best view of the whole event. And as he was going through the motions, fly fishing into the falls, I put my little worm on the hook and I threw it in the pool. Nothing. So I'm just playing with my rod, cast again, nothing. And on the third cast, when that worm hit the water, my rod bent into that pool. At 13, I thought I had a live 10-pound rock on the end of my pole. My heart came up into my throat. I'm reeling back on it, and it was, I just remember it vividly. And before, I didn't even recognize, my grandfather had already started making his way to me because he knew what I had just caught. I brought up a 22-inch freshwater salmon, right? And it was a real 22 inches. I know I'm getting some looks from the fishermen saying, oh, come on. I didn't keep it. But as I'm holding that fish, the grin on my face wasn't nearly as big as on my grandfather's. Because he knew in that moment I had fallen in love with the sport. I had fallen in love with fishing. And I think that when Jesus encourages us and gets us in those moments when we are walking with somebody, sharing the gospel, there's Jesus saying, you think this is fun for you? I'm watching you live out into your calling. And Paul experienced that. Paul experienced the great joy of seeing people come to know who Jesus is. Paul experienced the great joy of being a fisher of men and women and seeing lives transformed before his very eyes all through the Mediterranean. And he said, you people, you church, you are my glory. And yet Jesus is standing there saying, oh, Paul, you think that they're your glory? Watching you live on mission, watching the people come to know me, you're living into my kingdom. And so Paul is sitting here with the church, almost encouraging them to do the very same thing, encouraging them to stay faithful to the faith, the very faith that we've had in Jesus, but also staying faithful to the rhythms and the lifestyles of being the church that's on mission for the sake of Jesus. And Paul is battling a similar cultural situation that we do today, where many people were coming to this early new church that's just miles, just very close to the region of Ephesus. The church in Colossae is dealing with some legalism that's starting to creep into the church. People that are bringing them back to the Hebrew law, bringing them back to a place where they're yoked under the old law, where they have to adhere to some of these religious practices and if they're going to get near to God. And Paul's saying, no. Jesus came with a new covenant. His blood set a new covenant. You are set free, church. But then on the other side, there was this mysticism. There was this new age approach, progressivism coming into the church as well, that we can approach other gods. We can approach other ideas and celebrations and sacraments. And it was drawing the church away from the foundation of the faith in Jesus. And so Paul is coming to them saying, this is the path to walk. Right? So as we go into chapter 3 of Colossians, he's gone through who is Jesus and turn away from these teachers that are teaching false doctrine, to be honest. And he's leading them into this walk of coming back to him. And it's not a walk fully of repentance. It's a walk through repentance and into mission to say, oh yeah, this is who we are meant to be. So today, as we go through the word, I pray that this settles on our hearts. I pray that it pricks our hearts. There's some challenge in here, church, and I pray that we take it as a word from not just Paul, but from Jesus to us today to make us effective as fishermen here in Greater Portland. So we'll start Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 4, if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to get it out or turn it on. We're going to start in verse 1. Paul says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Set your hearts on things above. Get your hearts off of the things here that are horizontal in this life. Get them on the things where Jesus is. If that's where he is, that's where our heart has to be. And he also says, that's where our minds have to be. Right? It brings up another teaching that he shares, that do not be conformed to the patterns in this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Right? So get our minds fixed on the things above. Why? Because you died. You died and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. And some people in here might say, what do you mean I've died? I'm clearly sitting here, Kenan. I'm breathing and I'm staring at you. Our identity in Jesus, again, back to the baptism with Camden, our identity in Jesus, it's what he gives us. He gives us a new identity. We are dead to ourselves that were before. We have died to be completely surrendered to him in this new identity. And there's maybe some people here in this auditorium, or if you're watching online and you're saying, I don't know if I've gone through that. Well, I invite you into it. This new identity that he gives us, we'll see that goes on. It's the starting point of not only becoming a fisher of men, but somebody who abides and finds the abundant life that Jesus gives us. And it begins with the new identity that he gives. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's our hope. That's our eternal hope, that we will appear with Jesus in glory for eternity. Getting our minds away from the things in this life that sometimes can hold us down like an anchor in a boat. Get our eyes, get our mind, our heart fixed on Jesus. That's where he's seated above. So going on into verse 5 through 11, this is the challenge. Once we fix our mind and our hearts on things above, we all of a sudden look at the things of this earth a little differently. We look at the things, as Paul says, of our earthly nature or our flesh. Right? So starting in verse 5, Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. This means a lot of things for a lot of us. We might know exactly what these things were that we need to put to death, or this might help us identify what are things that we need to put to death. And there's kind of two layers here that Paul lays out. This first one, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality. I think a lot of us know what that means. But just to clarify, that means having intimacy, sexual, physical contact with somebody who's not your spouse. With somebody who's not your spouse. That's what Paul's getting at. Put that to death. It's holding you in bondage in ways you may not know. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Greed, which is idolatry. All of these things are idolatry, and I think it's important for us to wrap our minds around. This isn't a moral police effort. These things that we hold dear to our hearts are idols. We want to get ours more than we want to get with Jesus. It's idolatry. It's things that hold up residence in our heart that we just need to lay down. Put to death, Paul says, with those pretty frank words, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And Paul even goes on, he says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Because of sin, God is a holy, loving Father, but because he is holy and he's loving, he also disciplines because he loves us and he wants more for us. He brings Jesus to bring in and usher in abundant life. And if we're not living into it and we're holding on to the fleshly nature, God says, I've got to fix this. I've got to fix this. And Paul's telling the church, would you please walk away from this? Because this is why God's coming with his judgment. You don't want to be there in that moment. You don't want to be in that sin, in that idolatry. That's why God is coming with his wrath. And you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Paul almost gives this encouragement to just step forward. This is what you used to do. And some people might say, well, that's what I am doing. And Paul's saying, this is what you used to do as of today. And that's the good news with Jesus. That's the good news that he says, just leave what you think is giving you purpose and pleasure in this life. Leave it, because all of that tenfold is what I bring you. It's what you used to live in. Not anymore. But now, this is that second layer Paul goes after. He says, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. That's like down into some of the heart things. Goes beyond the exterior, external things that people can notice and run into. These are the things that we hold dear in our heart. We might be angry, but we can put a good smile on. We might be in the back room slandering or gossiping about somebody. No one knows. These are the heart posture things. And church family, anybody listening, please know that I'm not saying this out of a place of, I'm saying this out of a place of experience. Pastor Scott, 5.5 years ago, I remember it, he said, God can't bless what he can't honor. And all of a sudden in my heart, I said, I know what that means. I hope my fiance didn't hear that. Moments later, we were in the parking lot and she looked at me and she says, I love you, but we're ending this part of our relationship and we're putting on pause until we're married. And it was the greatest decision for our relationship we could ever make. Out of a place of experience, what pricks my heart is when Paul says, and filthy language from your lips. Has anyone ever heard swearing like a sailor as an expression? I lived that out. I kid you not. That was my identity in my mind. Well, when Jesus turned my eyes on him, things started changing. I had the opportunity to lay some of this stuff down. We all get that invitation today as well. Some of us say, well, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to lay that down, put that to death? How would I do that? Jesus has made a way for 2,100 years for every follower of Jesus, and you can take him up on it today. Why? Because Jesus leads us into freedom. And I haven't even finished the passage. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You're being renewed constantly into Jesus's image as we lay these things down. He's able to draw us into more of him, into newness with him, into the very one who put his DNA in our hearts, our souls, and our minds. The one who's created us wants us to become more like him. And here's the powerful passage that we all look at and we can celebrate, because when we put to death our old nature, as we keep our hearts and our minds set on the things above, Paul says here in this place, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen. This is good news. Because Jesus sets the stage for full kingdom equality. And Jesus says it's not a position of political schemes. It's not even a position of certain ethical rights. It's a position of where we have our minds and our hearts set on in our Creator and our Redeemer in Jesus. What brings us into that freedom, what brings us into full unity is the gospel. The gospel is what brings us there. So as we lay these struggles down, many of us might say, you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea how hard it is. I'd like to think I do, but you're right, I don't. But you know who does? Thank you, front row. Jesus. Jesus knows. Jesus knew all of the husbands and the names of the Samaritan woman. Jesus knew all of the ravaging guilt that probably came over Matthew as a Jew, but now a tax collector, collecting taxes unfairly on his own brothers and sisters of heritage. Jesus knew the wrestling match in Nicodemus's heart as he came to Jesus saying, who are you? In the dead of night, who are you? And Jesus looked at every one of them, I can imagine, and says, I know exactly what's going on in your heart. And he looks at us today. Every one of us says, I know what you're going through, but just trust me. Trust me. And this is that experience that I was talking about. When Jesus leads us into this freedom, we can remember that and go, I trusted him, and man, did he deliver. Did anybody feel like he delivered in their life with his gospel, bringing them into new freedom as they laid down the things that they thought they needed to survive? And so Paul gives us this invitation into what we are to do instead. as we leave these things of this life, as we lay them down, these sins, these things that hold us in bondage, whether we know it or not, Paul says this, starting in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you are chosen by the creator of the universe. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This sounds way less like, hey, let's start stepping into this self-help to try to work through these things. And this sounds way more like, let's abide and put on this new clothing that Jesus has given us. Let's step into this place of rest as he clothes us with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's almost like Jesus is sitting there holding this comfortable robe that he says, just put this on, would you? I paid for you. I bought this. This is yours to wear. He says, clothe yourselves. And over all of these virtues, again, put on love. It's a choice we get to make that we put on love. Why? To bring everything together in perfect unity. And church, if we are not living into this, if we're not living into putting on love and pursuing unity as a church, the greatest military tactic from the enemy is division. Divide and conquer. But as we step into this approach of unity, because we love each other, because we're practicing these things by putting them on, as we're practicing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, God will honor that and work through that as we seek him together. And the best places to practice this and get to know what this lifestyle looks like is in our groups and classes, is serving together, getting into small community where we can almost step into these little sandboxes of ministry opportunity to say, what does this look like to live in unity and clothed with love? Because Jesus, and the third point, Jesus begins developing within us a new character, right? This is that moment where Jesus is looking at his disciples and inviting them to drop their nets, follow him. He will make them fishers of men. Jesus is providing a new identity. He's leading us into freedom. He's developing us a new character, this walk with the disciples. That's what he's doing in this church. And so Paul closes the passage, as I can get to it. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you reach and teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is not an event. This is a lifestyle. That we're singing songs and hymns through our heart. We're worshiping God, and everything we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus desires for us to just abide in him, to just rest. He says, come, let me make you fishers of men. Come, be with me, walk with me, let me teach you. This is not an event-centric lifestyle. This is just saying, I'm going to walk with my Savior. I'm going to walk with the one who rescues me up out of the pit. I'm going to walk with the one who has changed my life. And going back to my fishing story, who did I want to go fishing with every single time now? Mainly because he put a 22-inch salmon in front of me. But even to this day, when I'm out there casting a line, letting a line just sit on the waters, I'm fly fishing. You know who I think about? I think about my grandfather. And I don't think about all the fish that he ever put in his basket. I don't think about all the fish that he ever had a photo with. I think of him standing next to me telling every single man that was on the bank trying to catch that very fish. He said, look, my grandson caught this. You should see the fish that my grandson caught. And I think Jesus is sitting there saying, look at the people that I'm developing into my very character. Look at the people that are holding up the calling that I've given them on their lives as fishermen. Look at them fish. I'm leading people to them every single day. God brings people into our path every single day. And do we look at it as an opportunity to say, let me tell you about the Savior that I've met? And don't hear me that we're just sitting there going through a script and saying, we just need to share these 30-second, four-point things. The gospel is alive and well in our lives today. Our lives are a reflection of the gospel, and this is not about coercion or control or convincing. This is about exemplifying and inviting. This is about walking with Jesus, becoming a fisherman, because you'll naturally fish. And many of us say, Keenan, where do I begin? I'm just gonna give you 3 points. These are gonna be really, really hard. You might not remember them, but I hope you do. Can you read? Can we read? There's teachers and students standing up. I know most of us can read. Then study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Become a student of the scriptures. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my teachings. My Father and I, we will make our home within you. How do we know what his teachings are if we don't read them? God's given us the word, the very word of God for us to get into, and we can learn from him. So if we can read, we can study the scriptures. Can we talk? I know I'm not the only one that can talk in here. Pray to him. Talk to Jesus. And here's the third one. This is so hard for me. Can we listen? Be obedient. So many of us can come to, I've done this so many times. We're in the dump truck, our prayer list is in the back, and we're backing up. Beep, beep. And we say, here we come, Jesus. We say, we'll see you later. And he's standing there saying, I want to talk to you. It's so important that we do bring other people, our circumstances, to Jesus. But he's sitting there saying, I want to speak to you. I have a word for you. I want you to be obedient to what I have for you today, taking that time to say, Jesus, I just want to hear from you. And sometimes we can feel like we're in this concrete encasement and we can't hear from him, but God's given me this little vision that I had this week, and he said, look behind you. And when I did, it was wide open, and I could walk right out of it. And he says, come into my presence. Don't let the worries and the distractions of this life cloud your ability to come, hear from me, spend time with me. That's why we talk about chair time. Because in those moments, he makes us, through his Holy Spirit, he makes us fishers of men. And we just have to take up his invitation. We have to drop our nets, take up the call, and follow him as he makes us fishers of men. And so today, maybe you've been following Jesus for 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. We may have some inventory to do. We may have a moment here as we look at and reflect in communion. We might say, God, there's some things I've got to lay down. I might have to put to death the things of my flesh, the things of this earthly nature. I may have to let it go to step into the abundant life that you have for me. And maybe you're here saying, this is the first time I've ever heard the gospel presented this way. This is the first time I've ever heard about Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit talked about this way. What is my next step? Set your mind and your heart on things above. Again, put to death those things of the earthly nature and be baptized. Follow Camden as he follows Christ. Follow us as we follow Jesus. And so after we get through the last worship song, if you want to know more about what it looks like to follow Jesus, what it looks like to be baptized in his name, the Father's name, the Holy Spirit's name, and to go, be commissioned to make more disciples, to teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded you. If you want to step into that calling, we'll have people underneath the screens that'll pray for you. But right now, we want to remember what Jesus has done for us. We want to remember that the gospel that's alive and well in our lives and many of us here, that it was paid for by him on the cross. And so that's why we take communion. That's why we take communion. We take the bread to remember his broken body, broken for you, broken for me. We take and eat. And the blood that ran down for hours from that cross wasn't meant to just be a gory image of pain here on this earth. It was meant to symbolize a new covenant that at any point when we're willing to put to death the nature in our lives that is holding us back from him, we can accept that freedom. We can step into the price that he paid because he gave us a covenant of grace and mercy. We can take the cup. And one final invitation. As we close this series, did you guys enjoy the Fishers of Men series? Great. Great. And here's where we put the meat on the bone. Who's willing to step into becoming a fisherman? Who's willing to step up, to stand up, and be willing to become a fisherman? And if you are, I invite you to stand because we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for anyone that's willing to take that call. So if you are willing to stand up and become a fisher of men, to take every advantage for the sake of the gospel, to share what Jesus is doing in your life, stand and rise. And it's okay if you're seated. Take that time to really say, this is a commitment not for this church, but a commitment for our King, for Greater Portland. Because this is the call he gives us as followers of him. That we get to share our story with people as we connect with them, as we pray for them, because we want to see them get to know Jesus as we've come to know him. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for your gospel. We thank you so much for your son Jesus, what he's done for us. And Father, would you teach us to obey you? Would you teach us to walk in freedom? Would you teach us to be madly in love with you and find joy in your spirit as he guides us here? Help us to fix our minds and our hearts on the things above. Leave the things behind us. Clothe ourselves in what you have for us, Jesus. This is a moment that we commit ourselves to you. Commit ourselves to sharing your good news for the sake of this region. In Jesus' name, amen.